This would have been while we were visiting with Calvin Tower and Aaron Deepno in their rented cabin, Eddie said. After you went back home, supposedly to pack for Vermont, is that right? He was stroking the side of his bag. He knew that smooth surface very well. Hadn't he shot the deer it had come from and scraped off the hair with Roland's knife and stitched the hide himself, with Susanna to help him? Not long after the great robot, Bear Shardik, had almost unzipped Eddie's guts, that had been. Sometime in the last century, it seemed. Yeah, Cullum said, and when the old fellow's smile sweetened, Eddie's last doubts about him departed. They had found the right man for this world. Say true and thank Gan, big, big. Strap on your gun, Eddie, Roland said, holding out the revolver with the worn sandalwood grips. Mine. Now he calls it mine. Eddie felt a small chill. I thought we were going to Susanna and Jake. But he took the revolver and belted it on willingly enough. Roland nodded, but I believe we have a little work to do first. Against those who killed Callahan and then tried to kill Jake. His face didn't change as he spoke, but both Eddie Dean and John Cullum felt a chill. For a moment, it was almost impossible to look at the gunslinger. So came, although they did not know it, which was likely more mercy than such as they deserved, the death sentence of Flaherty, the Tahin Lamla, and their quartet. 8. Oh my God, Eddie tried to say, but no sound came out. He had seen brightness growing ahead of them as they drove north along Turtleback Lane, following the one working taillight of Cullum's truck. At first he thought it might be the carriage lamps guarding some rich man's driveway, then perhaps floodlights. But the glow kept strengthening, a blue-golden brilliance to their left, where the ridge sloped down to the lake.